Welcome to another episode of Follow the Brand. I am your host, Grant McGaugh, CEO of Five Star BDM, a five-star personal branding and business development company. I want to take you on a journey that takes another deep dive into the world of personal branding and business development using compelling personal story, business conversations, and tips to improve your personal brand. By listening to the Follow the Brand podcast series, you will be able to differentiate yourself from the competition and allow you to build trust with prospective clients and employers. You never get a second chance to make a first impression. Make it one that will set you apart, build trust, and reflect who you are. Developing your five-star personal brand is a great way to demonstrate your skills and knowledge. If you have any questions for me or my guests, please email me at grant.mcgaugh, spelled M-C-G-A-U-G-H, at 5-star BDM, B for brand, D for development, M for masters.com. Now let's begin with our next 5-star episode on Follow the Brand. And welcome back to another insightful episode on the Follow the Brand podcast, where we help you to build a five-star brand that people will follow. I'm your host, Grant McGaugh, CEO of 5-Star BDM, ready to take you on an enlightening journey into the world of healthcare IT with our guest today, Frank Stapleton, IT Director at HCA Florida Mercy Hospital. Hailing from Detroit, Frank kickstarted his IT career at McKesson, specifically in their pharmacy division, where he got hands-on with advanced technologies like pill counters and robots. Now, for close to two decades, Frank has been a pillar in HCA healthcare, using his expertise to guide technical advancements in various Florida hospitals, from Miramar's supply chain warehouse to Aventura and Rollerson hospitals. In today's episode, Frank gives us an exclusive glimpse into the intricate interplay between technology and patient care. With an impressive track record involving teleneural products, iPhones, wearables, and IP-enabled devices, Frank is perfectly positioned to walk us through the triumphs and challenges of introducing new technology in a healthcare environment. We'll explore everything from system crashes to hurricane preparedness and unpack how these seemingly minute technical hiccups can set off a cascade of serious consequences in patient care. Frank and I emphasize the critical importance of feedback and trust in maximizing technology adoption despite the inherent complexities and initial resistance. Off the clock, Frank resides in Port St. Lucie with his wife, Veronica, and enjoys beach escapades whenever possible. His love for healthcare has inspired a new generation as his daughters have taken the leap into nursing in 2022. So buckle up and get ready for a deep dive into the ever-evolving, fascinating world of healthcare IT with none other than Frank Stapleton. Welcome to the Follow Brand Podcast, where we are building a five-star brand that you can follow. Welcome, everybody, to the Follow Brand Podcast on another weekly show. This time, I get to do a great interview. I love talking to IT directors. The IT directors in a lot of our healthcare facilities, I feel sometimes they are the unsung hero. They are when all the things that we talk about, all the digital transformation, all the different things of how, you know, things are done in a hospital from a technology perspective, a lot of times falls on the shoulders of the IT director to make it actually happen. And they have the twofold world of working within the administration and making sure that the patient experience is a positive one. So I want to introduce you to Frank Stapleton. Frank, you like to get on the mic and introduce yourself?
How you doing, y'all? I'm Frank Stapleton. I'm the current IT director for HCA Florida Mercy Hospital down in Miami. Been with HCA going on 19 years now. So a long time, and been in healthcare for a while. So,
well, let's walk that back. 19 years. That, you know, people are graduating now. My daughter, my granddaughter's graduating. I mean, that's right now for her. That's 18 years of experience. You've been working in the hospital in IT capacity your entire lifetime. I want you to walk us back to first. How did you get started in technology? Was that your initial path forward when you were, you know, getting out of school, getting out of college and thinking about what you're going to do? And this is your path forward, or you kind of fell into it?
No, you know, I grew up in Detroit, and, you know, when I went in that area, you know, you had a couple of choices. You could go into automotive, you know, work at a car factory and stuff, or some supplier of the car factories. I didn't want to really do that. I looked around at that time, you know, we're talking, you know, late 80s, early 90s, that, you know, what was coming up at that time? And it was computers was getting big. You could tell computers was going to be the next generation. So I looked at that and I seen always have a job if I get into computers. And the second thing was healthcare. You're always going to have sick people. And you seen that it was evolving that way. So I got into healthcare at that point. And I started working for McKesson Corporation. Started working at their help desk. And then I went to work on their pill counters and their robots and all those things, working at the pharmacy level. And I worked there for about 10 years. And then what happened was I got custody of my daughters, and I needed a full-time job where I could stay in town. So I had got a job at HCA, and I started at their supply chain, their warehouse, which was really cool because you get to see everything from this, you know, from they order it there, you get to see them, the trucks come in, they pick it, they deliver it to the system. So you get to help with the inventory system. You get to help with all of that stuff, purchasing, the accounting, and all those things that go along with it. And then when I moved over to the facility, you have that as your background. So, you know, you kind of understand that nurse uses the product. This is how it flows to the warehouse. The warehouse picks it. They ship it here. This is how it gets received and back on the floor for the nurse to use. So it kind of helped you. You know, it was interesting to take that route.
Interesting. I'm glad you picked that as your path forward. Because I want to ask you this. As we are now, and again, we're in this graduation season as we record this particular episode. So people are getting out of school. They're getting out of high school. They're getting out of college. They're getting into, they're starting to look at that first job. They're trying to figure out, you know, is maybe, hey, I like technology. I've heard things are growing in healthcare. I'm going to come and interview for a job with Frank Stapleton. What are the things? You want to be able to make sure they understand about what it's like to work in the IT department at a major hospital system.
Yeah. And, you know, recently I've had to interview some people for some different positions. And it's, you know, you get a degree and you get out, and that's great. You know, I take a test. But in the real world, I want to see what you can do in that area. And, you know, it's nice if you have some experience that you know how to work and do a break fix thing on computers and phones and things like that. That's great. But the patient experience is what's critical in a hospital environment. And that's what people have to understand, because, you know, those few seconds can save a life. So understanding that if you're working on something, whether I don't care if it's the CEO of the hospital, if a nurse calls and she can't dispense meds or she can't get her computer to work or something, you know what? You need to drop what you're doing and, you know, explain that to the CEO. They're all in the environment. They know that you have to go take care of that, and you go take care of that, you know, and you take care of that and you come back and deal with the CEO. I mean, that's critical. That's one thing you need to understand when you come to work at a hospital, the structure and how it works, you know, who you need to take care of first. Then you need to look at teamwork. You know, there is nobody on my team that does, it's an I job. It's, you know, this is the only thing I do. You know what I mean? It doesn't work like that. I get out. I'm a director of the hospital. I get out and fix stuff. I go out and replace computers. I go out and, you know, take care of different things on the floor, because that's what we do. We help each other. And, you know, the faster that I can get that equipment turned back around into those nurses, the easier it is for them to see their patients and then take care of that patient and, you know, maybe save a life here and there. And that's critical. And, you know, them understanding that we are fast and we come and we show up and we don't pawn them off and say, oh, this isn't a hardware thing, it's a clinical thing, I'm gonna send you to somebody else. No, you stop, you figure it out, you get somebody involved, you figure out what the problem is, and you don't leave them until the problem's solved. And understanding, that's the type of people I look for. I can teach the technical, The technical, I can teach. When I started in technical, I had no clue what I was doing. Okay, I had a degree, but I didn't know what I was doing. You know, you learn that as you go. And the way things evolve over the years, you're always learning. I don't care. I mean, you'll never figure it out. You might have the basics, but, you know, a new product comes in that you need to figure out how it works. You got a new piece of hardware. How does this work? You know what I mean? When I grew up in a time when they had VGA ports. Now you can't find a VGA port. You know what I mean? It's just different things, different hardware. You evolve it and you learn. I mean, that's going. But unless you know the basics, how to take care of the patients, how to take care of the nurses, understand what your priorities are, you're never going to survive in the hospital IT.
Wow. See, that is golden. No, it's not all about the tech. Understand the environment that you are in. What is mission critical? Mission critical, number one, is saving lives in the hospital. And I've heard another gentleman I talked to a while back had told me that seconds between if somebody may live or they may die. And the way that we use technology now, it's a great enabler. So if that enablement tool, that application is not working at its optimal level, there could be repercussions. And you have to deal with that. You know, so thank you for sharing that and understanding that our graduates that are coming out and people that want to just get into the field, understand this is what you need to lead with. When you got to talk to a Frank Stapleton and you're looking to get on his team, he's looking for a certain thing. Now he's like, I'm going to take your resume and scoot it over here because guess what? Lots of people got certifications. Lots of people got degrees. Lots of people have certain technical knowledge. But do you understand how to work in this particular field? And that's what you're going to leave with first. Because like you said, I can teach you the other stuff. So that's gold. But ask you this, right? Because right now what's hot is digital transformation. I mean, there's huge changes. You've been around 20 years. You've seen things happen. It's a lot of... you know, the perception of healthcare is that it's a legacy type environment as far as technology. They're behind. They don't use the latest and greatest because they have focused in other areas. But now that's no longer an option. You have to invest in technology. What are some of the key challenges that you see now when it comes to IT and how it can help or not help certain people in the hospital, whether it's nursing, doctors and or administrators and patients?
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's COVID-19 taught us a whole another level of taking care of patients. It really did. And, you know, you look at the telemedicine world, for instance, you know, you can use these teleneural the products sometimes that we use. And that's something that, you know, a patient comes in with a stroke and you don't have a neurologist right there. And you can actually get one of these neurologists on a cart that's got a, you know, monitor on it. He can zoom in. He can look at that. You can actually take that cart into the CT room and he can watch the CT and he can watch the stuff like that that's going on. And those seconds save lives. So you need to make sure that your signal strength isn't, you know, not just strong, but it's not overlapping over top of each other. Because if you have that overlap and, you know, as that cart is getting moved around the area, you can lose that signal and that signal can get lost. And it takes maybe 5-10 seconds to come up. But hey, 5-10 seconds is a lot when you have a stroke. And that those are kind of things that you need to look at. You know, nowadays, they've got their iPhones and things like that, that they can see, you know, the patient's information on. They can see the results and everything, which is critical. But all of that is excellent for the patient and for the doctor, but for my staff, it's just more work. It's more things that they can break. It's more things that you got to maintain and make sure that you're rounding and you're checking this stuff periodically instead of just waiting for a ticket to come in. Because if you wait for a ticket to come in and you don't round it, and you could catch stuff before it becomes a problem. And before the nurse goes and grabs it, you can check it and make sure it works. It might still break when they grab it, but at least you checked it, and then the likelihood of that is less. So those are the kind of things that I see. The challenge now is just that extra technology is just more workload on the staff, and that can be tough sometimes.
I can imagine. Right now, you've got these wearables, right? People are walking in with all kind of IP-enabled devices throughout the hospital system, even outside the hospital system, and you've got to start monitoring. It's becoming your responsibility because they're a patient or maybe a future patient or a past patient things like that. You've got IP enabled devices, clinical, they call them, what call it? Clinical, they call it COT, and I can't remember the exact what that stands for.
Yeah, and there's a lot of that going around. I mean, they're putting in, pacemakers or some type of heart devices that they can now, you can have apps and things like that you can put on a doctor's phones. And it like before, we would have to, the vendor would have to run a report like every 30 days to see if it's functioning correctly, right? So they had a 30-day turnaround, they're supposed to do that. Now, we've got software that will tell you the day it goes offline or the day it messes up, or whatever. So you can contact that patient, get them back in. That's a lot of great technology. But again, you have to have the systems at the hospital to run that, which, everything is becoming more critical. You know what I'm saying? It's just getting more, the more technology we get, the more they like to use it for critical cases. But then, our staff becomes more critical to the hospital because of that. So if you look, if the network goes down, say the network just went down. Let's say we lost a T1 line or something like that. I mean, imagine what that would do to a hospital if it totally went out and you had no network capability. Those are the things that keep me up at night sometimes.
Yeah, that's going to make you scramble. You go back to that paper world. I know that because, technology is not. I grew up, I went to DeVry Institute of Technology. First thing I learned is that it's an inaccurate technology. And I don't say accurate, meaning it's not 99% up all the time. There's a lot of times that it does happen. This recently just happened to me that I lost my internet in my house, and I realized all my IP-enabled devices stopped working.
Everything's gone.
My Alexa's gone. My little Echo's gone. Watching streaming TV, it's gone.
You don't realize how much you utilize it until it's gone, And the thing is, I mean, we have backups and things like that. You got a primary circuit, a backup circuit, by different vendors in case, AT&T goes out, you got a CenturyLink one. And that's the way to handle it, but hey, nothing's perfect. It might happen. I mean, and you have these contingencies that, everybody has them, but, administration is more aware of it now than they were 10 years ago. They want to know what those contingencies are. They want to understand what your game plan is if this crashes. And have these drills to say, okay, this is what we do in this world if it happens.
Yeah.
We go through a lot in hurricane season, but hey, there's times outside of hurricane season that it could happen. So you need to be prepared all year round.
You said that right. Business continuity is huge. We prepare a lot. We're hurricane preparedness now. I work in the data center, and we let people know what you need to do when it comes to hurricane preparedness, things like that. Because again, you lose power, you lose a lot of different things. Hospitals are priority one, no matter what, to make sure that they have power because it is a life-saving facility. I want to ask you another thing, because here's we got to. You got all these devices now. We've heard that. We understand. Yeah. If you lose some of these connections and you lose your network, what is the impact? What is the impact now that we've heard about cyber? Cybersecurity is huge, where these facilities are being targeted by criminals who want to get access to patient records, or they want to get access to machines. They just want to be malicious violators. What are you doing around that?
This episode is brought to you by Five Star BDM. Five Star BDM is a professional consulting and advisory group keenly focused on business development services for small to mid-sized businesses and entrepreneurs. Although every business is unique, they often share challenges that can be addressed through smart branding. Services include process improvement and operations, digital strategy and transformation, business intelligence, digital marketing, and personal branding. Our five-star business and personal branding company has helped a number of professionals and organizations to optimize and grow. The result is more business, more opportunities, better reach, positive outcomes. Please visit www.5starbdm.com to learn more and view all the episodes of Follow the Brand.
It's not so much that they want to get access to it. What they want is they want to have it and then ransom you to say, if you don't pay this amount of money, we're going to release it, or we're going to do whatever. That's what they do. I mean, they don't, they just get their money and then they give it back to you, or they release it, whatever. But that's what they try to do. You know, the company I work for is fortunate that we have a huge cybersecurity division that, you know, works really good, and it prevents, I mean, I forget how many thousands of attacks an hour that we get. I mean, it's crazy. It's like in the tens of thousands of attacks an hour that people try to attempt to get in. But, you know, we have a real strong cybersecurity. You know, one of the critical things that you need to do in an organization is phishing tests. Because, you know, all that technology, everything else like that, it can get blown away by somebody clicking an email with a link in it they shouldn't be clicking. So, you know, do the phishing tests, send an email out to try to catch somebody doing that, and then train them. You know what I mean? And you know, hey, you do it twice. Okay. The third time, your network, or your email is suspended. They'll learn their lesson real quick when you suspend their email for a month. They'll remember next time not to click on that. But you have to do that. You have to train it. I have to run a monthly report on phishing that I have to report to administration. And they look at users, specific users. And if they see that user continue to pop up, they do not like that. And there's consequences to that. So they take it very seriously. And you're right. There is a lot of that going around, and it's scary, scary stuff, man.
I'm gonna just turn the time just a little bit here on the conversation, because it's another thing that is I'm hearing all this explosion of technology in the healthcare system, explosion of management of all this newer technology. Obviously, you've got to secure all this technology. What about the explosion of storage? You've got to maintain this data in these systems, and some of them are 7 years, some of them are indefinite. How are you managing the massive explosion of storage?
It's all going to a cloud, man. That's what it's doing now. It's like, you know, the good thing about it, storage-wise now, you know, 10 years ago, you know, you'd buy a 100-gig drive and you thought you had the greatest thing in the world when you're downloading the music off the internet and all that. Remember those days? Yeah. You know, but, you know, nowadays, you know, if you ain't got a 2-terabyte drive in your home computer, you ain't got nothing, you know? So it's crazy. But the cost of the technology has went down tremendously. And the amount of storage that they can fit on a device has went down quite a bit. So with that, you know, increase in requirement for storage, the technology has caught up, and now, you know, it's easier to do that. And you can, you know, you don't necessarily have to go out and buy a new server. You can just use that cloud and, you know, expand your storage out, you know what I mean, to give you more storage to include the data, which is great. I mean, it makes a thing, you know, and then you've got like backup stuff where you don't have to worry about those stupid tapes anymore. You know, the backup tapes that would break when you try to restore them and all those things back in the day. I'm dating myself, but I remember those days.
And still got it.
Now you just back it up off to another server. You back it up to another cloud or something. And then you've got the, you know, you got the encryption and everything to keep that stuff, you know, secure. But, you know, that's where it's going. It's really going to the cloud stuff.
Let me ask you this, because I know all my guys out there that are in IT sales, they're going like, Grant, you got to ask him this. Please ask him this. If a IT sales guy is in your office, what are you expecting this guy to know? What kind of value can he bring to you?
I mean, he needs to know the operation of a hospital. You know, he needs to know the operation of what I'm doing, okay? If you're going to give me something that I have to go back to my nursing units and say, you have to take 2 extra clicks to do something. You don't think 2 extra clicks is a lot, but you take it over a 12-hour shift. That's an extra 30, 40 minutes in their shift, and they're already tired enough. So if you're going to tell me to do that, you need to give me what they're going to benefit from that. You need to tell me, you know, okay, this is going to save a patient's life more. It's going to give you more access to patient data. This is going to make it easier for the patient to understand what you're trying to show them. It's going to make it easier for you when you give your shift report to give somebody, you know, the next person coming in, something that I can give them that's going to show them those 2 extra clicks you're doing are giving you this benefit, right? If I go back and tell them, hey, you're going to get these 2 extra clicks and it looks pretty, it's a nicer screen, it looks easier to use, but I'm adding 30 minutes extra onto your work, and I'm really not giving you any other benefit except it looks pretty. I'll never be able to sell that. Help their workflow. help them where, like, we're using thin clients now, for instance, right? Take this, for instance, you're in a patient's room and you're charting, you know, in the EMR application, you're charting. Oh man, you know what? I got to go answer a call or whatever, right? And you leave that chart there and you're out in the hallway. Instead of having to go back in there, I can tap my badge or log in on your computer and it picks up right where I left off. And I can finish my charting right where I'm at. I don't have to walk back to the actual computer I was at. I don't have to do that. You know what I'm saying? It follows me right there. That's the technology that I can sell. When you give me something that's going to help me save time, it's going to make sense for my workflow, I can sell that all day long.
Aha. Now that's gold. I want all my sales guys to hear that. We got to make sure that we make Frank's life easier, that we make the people that are actually interfacing with your technology to be able to utilize it and make not only their lives easier, but the patient experience much better. And it makes sense. I know when the EHRs first came out, it was a massive disruption to all the workflows. You lived through that. And there was kind of a rebellion from all the clinicians, the doctors, the nurses, like, man, you just take, I spent an hour in front of the patient and I spent 2 hours documenting this whole experience. That is not a great
thing. And it's not making my life easier. Understand that. You might be able to come in and I may look at it, oh, this is awesome. This is going to help me, whatever. No, it's not. That's not going to get us sold. I got to be able to go to them and make their life easier. You know what I'm saying? I got to be able to go to them and say, so maybe when you're developing products or you're trying to understand the sales approach, have some nurses in your team. Have some nurses that are, you know, not nurses 20 years ago. I'm talking a nurse that was there like a year or two ago. Have them on there and say, yeah, that would make sense. Or no, that ain't going to make sense. They ain't going to save them no time. They're going to hate that. Then you would know. I mean, not to even bother with it. Maybe change something around. That'll help you. Have some people that are actually real world on your team that would help understand that.
You know, that's the best practice. I worked in organization where that was a must. Where we have just a lot of different technologies, but it had to be vetted first by our subject matter expert that was either a nursing or physician. And understand how this is going to work real time in that environment. Is this really a detriment? Is it part of regulations? Is it part of compliance? Why would you do that? You know, so we've got to make these lives easier. I want to ask you this. You know, let's say it was a perfect world. You could have anything you want. We're not talking budget. We're not talking anything. If the challenge that you have now that you see day in, day out, where you're at, and you wish you had some kind of solution for it, what would that look like?
Or I think a lot of it is, testing of new equipment, software, whatever it be. If I had an actual lab, right, where I had a patient room set up, let's just take for our argument's sake, I had a patient room set up, right? And I had every piece of hardware that we use in that hospital, right? And I bring nurses off, the floor, or I bring them in for a day out and a day out, pay them for whatever. Have them use that. Have them use it in the real world. Patient comes in, I want you to register that patient. I want you to, check on that patient, document what you checked. I want you to dispense medication. I want you to do all this stuff so I can see how it works in a real world environment, but way before I implement it.
Of course.
Way before I implement it. And that would help me understand, okay, we need to tweak this. We need to tweak that. And then I take it to another hospital and I do the same thing. And if I can get multiple hospitals where it all works the same thing, I know for a fact when I put it on the floor, it's going to make sense. I know for a fact when I put it on the floor, it's going to work. And I don't have to worry. Because what happens is now, they do these products and they're sitting at a corporate office or somewhere else. It's not just us, it's everyone. And they say, oh, this would be great. Sales guy come in and says it's going to save us time, it's going to be great. But they don't test it in the real world before they put it out. Oh. And then it gets out and the nurse just can't stand it.
I love what you just said. I want all of my listeners, all the people that are into digital health innovation, that are in these worlds in which they're trying to transform the hospital experience, understand what you just said, because that's what they do. We have an R&D facility, and that's how we test it. But we're testing the technology. But to get what you call a POC, a proof of concept, is hard. Because what you just said, like, wow, I need to go into a real life environment and see how this is really going to work. Now, there are some things that are happening as far as a use case. This is how you can start looking at virtual worlds. If you can create a virtual world that has the true life experiences in that, in there, that you can make adjustments to, that's a possibility. Or you have a, you know, a makeshift facility in which you can go into and then make these kinds of run-throughs of technology.
We have that now. I mean, we have some AI technology, and we got these mannequins that, I mean, they're lifetime. I mean, they're crazy looking. I mean, you can like literally watch them breathe and everything else. And that's how we train our star RNs, nurses of the future. This is how we train them. And that's fantastic for training. And that's fantastic for them to learn how to use what we got right now. But when we're bringing out a new product, I think each hospital should have an area designated that they can do the training right there. You know what I'm saying? And then have the real world nurses, not just the ones that are training to become the next generation nurses, the one that's been here 10, 15 years, bring them in there because they're going to know a lot more because they do it every day, you know, and they'll see that. And I think, you know, the hard part about that is I have to now convince administration to give up a room that would, you know, otherwise would generate income, right, to give up a room, to give up, you know, pay nurses salary to do this training and testing and everything, to do all that. I have to show them what the benefit of that would be, you know. And unfortunately, sometimes it's as simple as a bad implementation.
Yeah.
And I can say, you know, well, this implementation went bad, but if we would have had this, I would have known all those problems before we went live with it. And, you know, maybe that's where we need to go. I mean, I think maybe that might be a solution.
No, that's a good route to start thinking through. In my 25 years of being in IT, the biggest challenge I always have had is when we get to that area we call the cutover, right? The cutover is when it actually is implemented. We're not talking about design. We're not talking about, you know, project management. We're talking about the users. And a lot of times the end users aren't part of the process of all the things I just talked about. And so when they get it, they look at it like, what is this? And then if they reject it, just like sometimes your own body will reject certain treatments because this is now, even though we think, oh, it's good for you, but the body says no. The body is the health system itself. So if the nurses, the doctors, the clinicians, everybody that's involved in that, when it actually in the use case is not involved in the design and implementation, becomes a problem. I've seen it happen so many, many times. Now, over time, it can be adopted. They'll begin to use it, but it'll morph and change. Sometimes it doesn't look the way you want it to, and you don't get the ROI that was promised by that technology. So what you're saying earlier, you take that to administration. That's if you're going to spend six, seven figures on a technology, you got to start thinking, hey, if I took $50,000 and created some kind of test environment, make sure that my primary go-to people are very, very familiar with this product. Because I tell you, you can't take 2 days out of the field and then you're good.
Yeah, no, and you don't. I mean, I don't even need a ton of nurses. I need, you know, four or five nurses that are respected across the facility. You know, that aren't afraid to give me, you know, criticism, give me negative feedback. I don't need somebody that's afraid to give me negative feedback. I need that negative feedback to make it work better. You get them on board. Nurses talk. My daughter's a nurse. I mean, they talk. I mean, trust me, they talk about a lot of stuff. And it's like, you know, you want that feedback to filter down to everybody else. And then when they get it, they're like, oh yeah, this is what so and so was talking about. It's not that bad. It's, you know, this is maybe here's a few tricks that, you know, to make it better, whatever. Instead of when you get it, they're like, what is this? Oh, we took the training online. You know, it's not going to, you know, that's the attitude you get.
Yeah.
You know, and it's, we need to get away from that. And, you know, it's like everything else. It's a budget thing that you got to talk them into it. And I mean, I've started those conversations with I got a new CNO and I got a new ACNO and I'm starting to try to show them the benefit of it. And I'm hoping that they would, you know, all I need is one room and I got a ton of old equipment I can stick in there and make it work. You know, I don't need anything new, you know? So.
No, this has been a great discussion, Frank. And I really appreciate you taking the time out to share, because this is so important. The technology of today touches everybody in the healthcare ecosystem. It's that layer of experience that we all have, but we don't always know, and sometimes we don't speak up when we don't really know how certain things work. Like, I remember, like video conferencing has been around for 20 years. It was available on people's phones for a while, but we didn't really start utilizing it at a very large scale because of COVID. Right. Yeah. And you had to get used to, like, wow, I have to now know how to use this tool. It's digital enablement is a must now. It's a necessity now. I can't just rely back on 10, 20 years or how I've done things to do things going forward. So let's not be afraid to ask how something very, very simple for some people could be very, very difficult for someone else.
Yeah. And you look at it, I mean, when it first started, you know, people were scared to death of it. Oh, I don't like computers. I'm not good at it. I don't want to be on a camera. I don't want to do this, you know, whatever. And it evolved and people got comfortable with it and people understood it. And it's the same thing I'm talking about. If you give somebody a room where they look at it a couple of days, they start getting more comfortable with it and they start understanding what the benefit is and what you can, what you can't do, you know, maybe a few things we can tweak to make your life easier with it. That's what I mean. Real world, give it some time instead of just throwing it out there and saying, there you go. It's the same thing. Technology has been here 20 years. Hey, the video conference technology didn't change much. It's a camera. It's an app. It's some audio. And that's about it. I mean, it's the same thing. It's just, but people got more comfortable with it because they were forced to use it. But then this situation is we're going to give them something that they can use. And I think, you know, I'd love to get into the development of something like that. That would be, you know, awesome. Just take my years of experience and say, this is what I've seen work. This is what other people I know say work. And we try to work through it, you know.
Oh, that type of knowledge is so, so valuable to so many makers of technology, people that work in the product and the services field, to understand what's really going to have impact. Because I go back to how we started this whole conversation, meaning how do we save lives? How do we do it quicker? How do we do it better? How do we make it work for everybody? This is wonderful. So we want to continue that line of discussion. Sure.
Yeah. Using the tools we have, using the tools that are there. Technology is there. It's just getting people on board and using them, you know. And it's, you know, you're not going to, you know, most people like an automatic transmission. Why? Because it's easy to use. You know, then a manual transmission, it's the same thing. Getting people understanding it's easier to use and they want to use it. And that is what you need to get at. Teaching people how the benefit of what I'm giving them, the easiness that it is to use the product, and then that you can customize it a little bit to make it user-friendly for you.
Oh, man, that's golden. Now, we're going to end with that. Thank you for being on the Follow Brand Podcast, Frank. If the audience would like to get in touch with you, what is the best possible way?
Yeah, just send me an email. I'd be happy to answer any questions or anything. It's you can send it to frank.stapleton, S-T-A-P-L-E-T-O-N, at HCA Healthcare, Henry Charlie, applehealthcare.com.
I love that. And I want to tell your audience they can reach and actually see all the episodes on Follow Brand at 5-star BDM. That's B for Brand, D for Development, InfoMasters.com. This has been wonderful. I would appreciate you every day for what you do, because you've been saving lives for 19 going on 20 years. And I really appreciate that, Frank.
All right. Thank you, Grant. I appreciate it, buddy.